Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying listening audiences that any opinions expressed on our shows are not representative of Laguna Radio Inc., its management, or its board of directors.
All right. Top of the morning to you. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. It's a special 8 a.m. version of the Importance of Being show. So just so you know, the show normally goes on from 9 to 10, and that will happen as well as 10 to 11. So we're having a Importance of Being show palooza. We're going to get the show started right after this.
You are the light. They can see I'm not so good. People in the know, they can see that I miss you. In the night with no one to hear me, I'm afraid and I cry. Seasons change, but there's nothing changes my mind. I've been loving you too long, and I can't seem to stop.
Alrighty, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And you may have noticed that it is not 9 or 10. We're doing a special triple feature this morning. So I'm starting off with Kerry Eisenberg from Ta Hooray. All right, I did it. Hi there, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so Kerry, what is Ta Hooray?
The Ta Hooray Justice Center is an organization that helps immigrant women and girls who have fled human rights abuse. So they have fled any very traumatic experiences, such as domestic violence, forced marriage, female genital mutilation, honor crimes. And they have fled these situations and come to the United States to try to find safety and dignity.
Okay. And so how long have you been doing this?
So I've been with Ta Hooray for about 4 years.
Okay. And did you start it?
No. So I'll tell you the history. So our CEO and founder is Laylee Miller Moreau.
Okay.
And she began this organization about 23 years ago. And it all started with she's a lawyer. And when she was in law school, at the young age of 23, she was given a case in a law clinic. From a woman who was from Togo, Africa, who had fled forced marriage and female genital mutilation. And she had come to the United States. Her sister had helped her escape the situation.
Okay.
And she came to the United States and presented herself and said, I'm here to seek safety.
Yes,
and
asylum.
Asylum, yeah. Exactly. And unfortunately, she was placed in detention. And it was a very, very difficult situation for her, very traumatic. She developed ulcers from the food and a lot of traumatic experiences.
And just the treatment, I'm sure.
The treatment was very, very difficult. In fact, she was moved about a year later to maximum security prison, and that was actually a better situation than the detention center. So that just gives you a sense of what it was like.
The taste, yeah.
Yes, a little taste. And so Laylee took on this case, and represented her through the system, through the immigration courts. It actually was denied, and Laylee went through the appeals process with her where it was actually approved, where she was granted asylum.
Right.
And what's critical about this case is that it established gender-based persecution as a means to gain asylum legally here in the United States.
Wow.
Yes, it was a very pivotal case, and it gained a lot of media attention, et cetera. And she and this woman wrote a book together called Do They Hear You When You Cry? And it was a bestseller globally. And Laylee used the proceeds of that book to start the Tahereh Justice Center.
Okay, wow. And so refresh my memory, when did it start?
Back in 1997.
Okay, and then how did you get involved?
Oh, I got involved because I was working for Amgen. I was a business person.
Right, on the right track. Making the money.
Yes, you know, have an MBA.
Stuff,
doing exactly.
Shoes, purses.
Exactly. I definitely was in a different life, for sure. And I have two daughters of my own. And
now look at you now.
Yeah.
You're like coming here for free, talking to people.
That's my life. That's what I do. I really felt that I wanted to make a difference and help women and girls. And
okay.
It was very important to me to start to impact others. And how could I do that? And luckily, I found Tahereh through many different channels. And it was the one place that I chose for myself because of how extraordinary it is. It's run as well as Amgen. It's that efficient, that effective.
Oh, really? Okay. So, that is a thing where people with business experience are coming into the nonprofit mm-hmm. world. And so it's not just someone who has a cause,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have skills that they've picked up in the business environment. So they can be more effective, make a bigger impact type of thing. So
it's true. I think Tahereh took a bit of a risk with me because I was not the typical nonprofit person, but I think we've found a really great partnership together, and I've been able to learn so much from them. Laylee is a true entrepreneur and businesswoman, as well as true believer in social justice.
Okay.
And she has used that incredible skill to help over 27,000 women and girls at this point.
And so when you say help them, you know, she represented her, mm-hmm. this one person. Is that how you guys help folks, or is there a broader... Is there, you know, paper hanging and?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we do is it was started as a legal services organization for
okay,
sure.
Right.
And with Laylee's background, et cetera. But in the beginning, Laylee had a wonderful vision about the best way to support these women and girls. And it's
right.
truly holistic. So not only do we provide legal services for these women and girls, but we also provide social services. We have a whole social services team that works with these women and girls and supports them to find, they're in kind of a limbo land at that point. They need housing, they need clothing, they need support for their children, et cetera, just until they gain the asylum and then they truly soar themselves.
Okay.
So we have a social services arm. And then in addition, we have a public policy arm because we truly feel it's important to raise
wow.
the voices of these women and girls. And so that holistic model is very unique mm-hmm. to this type of work.
Yes, yes, yes.
And able to provide
it's
them.
It's usually just your finger in the dike type of thing.
Exactly, yes. And so not only are we doing direct services, Tahereh truly believes in making transformative systemic change to help whatever system. And we are truly, the other interesting thing is we are nonpartisan in our approach
okay.
ever since the beginning. And so by being nonpartisan, we're also able to be extremely effective in our public policy
right,
arm.
Right,
we
right.
always have a seat
friends
at the table.
In all places.
Exactly. So it's been very effective.
Okay, so I want to remind the listeners that this is KX93.5 and you're listening to The Importance of Being Show, actually a special 8 o'clock version of The Importance of Being Show. I'm here with Carrie Eisenberg of the Tahereh Justice Center.
Yes.
Justice Center. Mm-hmm. And she says it, still says it better than me, but we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have more from Carrie and Tahereh.
Thank you.
All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show, a special 8 a.m. version. And like I said earlier, we're having a triple header. So we will be on the air with different guests from 8 to 11. So anyway, right now I have in studio a very wonderful person, Carrie Eisenberg of Ta Hooray Justice Center. And we've been talking about your work helping immigrant women and girls escape violence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you said a little bit about how it started with just helping one immigrant coming over with issues that she had. And you've also talked about then that becoming an organization.
Yes.
So when you left the corporate world, why did you choose nonprofit? Mm. Or what drew you over to this side of the to the light side?
I think that's really the crux of it. I wanted to go from the dark side to the light side. I had never been in the nonprofit world, but I knew that I very much wanted to have an impact in a positive way on others.
Okay.
As a mother of girls myself, I really wanted to show my girls that your time can be spent in a very positive way, helping others. And I very much wanted to have an impact in the world in a more global
sense. Do something
that
mattered.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And you know, there are all kinds of things out there. How did you end up choosing this one?
Yeah, so I had kind of narrowed it down that I very much wanted to help women and girls. That was something I was very passionate about.
Okay.
And in looking at a variety of organizations, it's funny, it's kind of a funny story because I had a friend who mentioned, oh, you should meet this woman, Lely Miller Moreau. She's amazing. You should just speak to her about what she does, what life is like in nonprofits, et cetera. Little did I know who Lely was and how amazing she was.
Right.
So
my friend Mick Jagger.
Exactly. I mean, in the social justice world, she truly is like a Mick Jagger. You know, she's been listed in all sorts of amazing awards. So, and it's funny because I had listed her in my calendar, my family calendar, saying, meeting with Lely Miller Moreau, and my husband, who is an attorney, a corporate attorney at a large law firm, said, oh, I know Lely. We used to work together at the law firm.
Oh.
And it was just the most amazing coincidence.
Wow.
So I already had this personal connection as well to Lely. And we spoke, and she is the most inspiring individual in every way. She's brilliant and just so focused on helping others. And literally, Ta Hooray was the only organization I spoke with. They ended up having a position open.
Wow.
At Ta Hooray. It was like the stars had aligned and I was meant to be at Ta Hooray. And I truly believe that. I truly believe so much in the mission of what we do. And I believe in our leadership and the model. And the people I work with are the most brilliant people I've ever worked with. And it's been the perfect match.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the people that you're helping, the women and the girls that mm-hmm. you're helping. So what kinds of situations are they coming from and maybe what countries?
Yes.
Where, what? Tell me.
Yes. So the women and girls we serve have come from a variety of places. The majority now are from Central America. I would say almost 80% are from Central America, mainly from that golden triangle of Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, as well as Mexico, because of all the hardships that are occurring in those countries right now with gang violence, kidnappings, yeah. human trafficking, et cetera. And so that is the majority of where our clients come from, but there are some that come from Africa, Asia, et cetera. But that has really grown. But in addition, we have a lot of women and girls we serve who are here in the United States.
Wait, what?
Yes. It's true. There are a lot of women and girls who have experienced domestic violence here in the United States, and they apply for asylum based on that domestic violence that they've occurred because they are then they are then testifying against their abusers, and so it's getting those abusers off the streets.
Okay. Okay, so that's another aspect of it.
Exactly, exactly. And then also we have some women, some girls who have experienced forced and child marriage, and we are helping them as well. So it's just a variety, but whomever they are, whether they've come from a different country or in the United States, we're helping them once they've gotten here to the United States and they have a right to be here under the law. So when they come across, say they are coming from Central America, mm-hmm. when they come to the border, they experience what's called a credible fear interview.
Okay.
And by doing so, it's established they have a credible fear that they have fled mm-hmm. from wherever they're from.
Right.
And by doing so, because of the law that Lely established back 23 years ago.
Right, with that first case.
That first case. They have a right to be here under the law. And so then they're here in the United States and they are searching asylum.
Okay. And so that kind of leads in. You guys also do policy development work and I guess lobbying and all to get that, mm-hmm. get it to become a bill so that it might become a law.
Yes, yes. So I should state that, yes, we do policy work, but I do want to point out before we move that way that it is important that these women and girls have that representation.
Okay.
It's critical for them. And so when I mentioned the credible fear interview and they're here in the United States, I'll give you a couple statistics that you might find of interest.
Uh-oh.
I know, statistics scary, but these are fascinating. So if a woman and girl comes to the United States and they do not have an attorney, they have no representation, they only have a 16% chance of gaining asylum.
Oh.
If they have an attorney, just any attorney, it's about a 46% chance.
Yeah.
If they have a Tahereh attorney, they have a 99% chance.
Really?
Yes, and that is based on the experience we have to help them through the system and our experience with the law itself. So it's really critical that they have that legal support.
So you must charge them quite a bit.
Good question. Actually, everything is free.
What?
Yes, yes. It's pretty amazing.
I guess that's like the best things in life are free.
Yes, absolutely. Aww. We are truly providing them the chance of a lifetime to be able to live a life of safety and with dignity. And these women are so strong. They are truly our heroes. And we just need to give them that moment, support them in that moment with that legal services, social services, and then they truly succeed.
And so what kind of numbers are we talking about over the course of, say, you know, the life of your organization? How many people do you feel like you've helped?
27,000 women and girls.
Wow.
Yes.
A big number.
It is a big number, absolutely, which wouldn't exist without the law lately established. And
right.
then also these women and girls, they have a right to that freedom. We truly believe that they do. And we're very proud of that because they are so successful once they gain that asylum.
And how many people would you say are a part of your organization, or how are you guys structured?
Yes. So we have 100 staff now, and the majority are attorneys. And then we also have social services and our public policy arm. And but what's interesting about our structure is that Lely, back in the day, she's so insightful, established a model where we actually partner with pro bono attorneys.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it makes our work very efficient. We partner with over 3,000 attorneys from the top 300 law firms across the country.
Mm, wow.
Yes. And by doing so, we are able to leverage every dollar given to Tahereh has tripled in impact
right,
because of
right.
those pro bono services that yep. are provided to us.
Mm-hmm.
And
quality pro bono.
Quality,
services.
Absolutely. And what's interesting about Tahereh is there are other organizations that will use pro bono services. You know, they'll work with other law firms, but they'll hand over a case to that attorney. But what's unique about Tahereh is we co-counsel every case.
Oh, so there's a Tahereh person always in the mix, so you know that's not just thrown over the fence.
Exactly. We partner with them on every case so that our expertise is being used with every case. And it's very interesting because also my husband's a corporate attorney. So if he was given a case of this sort, it would be very overwhelming in many respects in the law that he doesn't know.
Right, doesn't practice every day.
And doesn't know the little intricacies. Exactly. And so he needs that support. But then in addition, the social services arm is critical because these women and girls have gone through so much trauma.
Right.
And it would be very difficult for a corporate attorney to understand all the challenges these women and girls face.
Right.
But because they have a social services person supporting them, the attorney is able to just focus on the law. And it's really been a wonderful marriage between these attorneys and ourselves. And as Laylee likes to say, every attorney, when they go into the law, they had an image, a vision that they were going to help others.
Right.
And this allows them the ability to do so.
Then they start thinking about purses and shoes.
Exactly.
And they're like, well, perhaps later.
Exactly, exactly. So this allows them to fill their hearts and their souls. And also makes such a difference for the women and girls we serve.
Okay, so what do you actually do for them?
So I go around the country sharing about the work that we do and leveraging supporters. So I'm really in the development arm at Tahereh. Working with champions across the country.
Building an army.
And we have built an army here in Orange County. It's been incredible. We have. It's truly amazing. And that's what I do. I just go around the country. Someone last night was calling me a one-woman army myself. one-man show. Going around, and I really just talk about our work and ask folks to engage in our work and spread the word.
Okay, so let's go back to the people that you're helping.
Yes.
So when someone comes to you, or how do they even find you?
Yes. So it's truly through word of mouth, because unfortunately we can only help one out of every 10 girls that comes to us for help.
Okay.
It's really heartbreaking. That is the thing that keeps us all up at night, is because of capacity constraints, we can only help one out of 10.
And how do you guys decide? I mean, I know that must be wrenching, but you know.
What? It is so wrenching, but our local offices have a team that come together, the legal arm and the social services arm. They have meetings where they will review the various cases that have come. We have call-in hours where they'll call in.
Okay.
And then they review those cases and see what is the best fit, where can we be most effective.
But, I mean, how do you find the cases to begin with?
Oh, so women and girls will hear through word of mouth or on the internet, and they will call. We have call-in hours. They will call various local offices.
Okay, got it.
And we will do a screening at that point to learn more about their case. And we determine that it's within our mission and our goals. And then we just determine by capacity.
And so they've come here, they've gotten to America, mm-hmm. they've filed for asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it, do they, you know, go to detention right away? What's the timeline or the flow?
Yes, a lot of times, unfortunately, now they are being placed in detention. We've had family members separated from their children.
That's been in the news, yeah.
Quite a bit. Very painful. But yes, they will enter the United States, present themselves, and then they will usually be put in detention at this point, or they might have an ankle bracelet
on
them.
House arrest, something like that.
You know, so they're being forced to wear these ankle bracelets and they check in along the way. And then even if they're in detention, they'll hear through word of mouth that there is a resource out there called Tahereh, and then hopefully our attorneys will be able to connect with them.
Okay. And so then how long would you say the process generally takes?
It's also heartbreaking how long the process is taking at this point. It used to take a year to 2 years. Unfortunately, now it can take 3 to 5 years. So these women and girls are living at most in the lower end, 2 to 3 years of living in limbo.
Okay.
And it's a very painful experience for them.
And I know we talked about it in the beginning, but what kinds of things are they escaping from? When we talk about, you know, violence and for women and girls and in all over the world, what kinds of situations are in your strike zone?
Yes, absolutely. So these women and girls have fled female genital mutilation. They have fled forced marriage. They have fled human trafficking. They have fled extreme violence, domestic violence. They have fled honor crimes. They have fled just incredible situations that you can't even imagine.
Right.
I could tell you a quick story if you'd like about...
I'm not sure I'll like the story, but okay, yes.
One story I could share with you is of a girl who lived in Central America, and she, I believe it was Guatemala, and she was invited to lunch with a friend, and she met her for lunch, and as she sat down to lunch, the friend excused herself and said, "I have to go to the bathroom," and then she disappeared.
Whoa.
And the girl knew something wasn't quite right.
Right.
And all of a sudden, these men appeared and abducted her.
Yeah. Shanghai, basically.
Exactly. And she never saw her friend again. And she was taken to a house about 30 miles away from her town, where she was locked in a room for weeks on end and raped repeatedly by various men.
Sure, yeah.
And after those horrendous weeks where she didn't even know where she was or what was happening to her, they came to her and said, "We're going to sell you now to somewhere in the U.S. We need to take you to get paperwork so that we can sell you." And there was a gentleman who had been bringing her food throughout this horrific experience. And he was driving her to this place, and he stopped at a red light. And they had had some communication, and he said, "If you get out of the car right now, I won't stop you." So she had somehow touched his heart.
Right.
And he allowed her to escape. And she ran as fast as she could and went to a phone and called her mother. But things are so bad where they are in these countries that her mother said, "You can't come home. Because if you come home, these kidnappers will find you."
Right, they'll come right back, yeah.
"And they will abuse not only you, but your siblings."
Right.
"And they will abuse, they will attack our family."
Okay.
So her mother has a 15-year-old daughter and said, "You can't come home."
Yeah.
And so she had to make the horrendous decision of sending her daughter by herself north to where her uncle lived in Texas and gave her a little bit of money. And this girl, without seeing her family again, had to flee north through the deserts, through these incredible situations.
Right.
And unfortunately, the situation is so bad that a lot of parents have to inject their children with birth control before they go because they know they're going to be raped along the way.
Okay.
And she sent her north, and she survived months of travel on her own and finally reached the border in Texas, where she presented herself legally, and she was put in detention. And through that experience, she was able to connect with Tahereh, and Tahereh supported her through the asylum process and with her social services. And she was able to gain asylum and gain her education, and she's now pursuing a degree in nursing.
She must think you guys are angels.
I think she does feel like she was very lucky to be connected with Tahereh, but I must emphasize that they are our heroes, these women and girls. We are really there just to support them in that one moment in their lives where they need that support. As I mentioned, it's virtually impossible to gain asylum otherwise.
Right.
But then they are the ones who soar. They just need that support at that moment. And then they are our angels. They are our heroes. And they are the ones who then contribute so much to the world and to society.
Wow. I want to remind the listeners that this is KX93.5, and you're listening to a special 8 o'clock version of The Importance of Being Show. My guest this morning is Carrie Eisenberg, who really must go. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm going to have
Tiana Hamilton
talk about how you can get involved and be a part of this. All right. Thank you. This is very unusual. We usually, our breaks usually mean something, but because Carrie must go very quickly, we missed something. We're going to bring her back. So let's talk about forced and child marriage.
Thank you so much. I just felt I would be remiss not to mention another area of work that we do at the Tahereh Justice Center. We are very true to our mission, but about 6 years ago, we started receiving a lot of calls from our clients who were being forced into marriage here in the United States, which is very shocking.
Wait, no.
Yes,
it can't be so.
It's very shocking, but unfortunately, here in the United States, in many states, there is no floor for marriage. So girls as young as 12 were being forced into marriage because the law states if you have parental consent, you can force a child to be married.
What?
It is shocking. And we were receiving a lot of calls from girls who were experiencing this. And so they would go, their parents would take them because of whatever their religious beliefs were or their culture.
Right.
And they would take them to the courthouse and the child would say, I don't want to be married. Please don't make me marry. And many times to men who were 20 years their age, above their age.
You're not of legal age to make a decision.
So yes. The parents- so the courthouse, the clerk would say, I'm sorry, my hands are tied. Your parent is giving permission. I have to let this go through. Oof. And so we started something called the Forced Marriage Initiative, and where we help girls who are fleeing forced marriage here in the United States. And we work with girls on a one-on-one basis, 24/7, to help them escape their situation, as well as keep them safe once they have, and support them along the way. In addition, there are girls who, because of their family heritage, they might be from abroad somewhere. Their families might send them, might say, we're going on vacation abroad. Mm-hmm. When they're there, they're forcing them to be married. And they might reach out to us while they're abroad. Mm-hmm. And we will help them with the State Department. We work with the State Department to help them escape that situation and get home.
Wow.
So we work with them on a one-on-one basis. In addition...
And so in that case, they're already a United States citizen.
Yes.
And so then the State Department can, you know, grab them and ship them back, right?
Exactly, yes. In addition, because, as I mentioned, we work on systemic change, we work on child marriage laws state by state. Oh. And so we are trying to change the laws themselves. And so about 3 years ago, we started working on that. And Virginia was the first state with Tahereh's support to pass a child marriage law. So there is a floor that girls cannot be forced to be married. And we have since then passed laws in over, I believe, 8 states at this point. Georgia just passed a law in the last 3 weeks. And we're going state by state by state to work to have these laws passed.
Wow. wow. Who knew? I mean, you would think that would be well under, you know, just
yes,
built in from the day one. But
yeah, you wouldn't believe between 2000 and 2015, over 200,000 children under age 18 were married in America. So the numbers are staggering.
Right. Okay. Now we're going to take a break. That was Carrie Eisenberg from Tahereh Justice Center. She's doing great work, and I am amazed. And I talk to wonderful people all the time. So when we come back, we'll have
Tiana Hamilton.
Tiana Hamilton, tell us how you can get involved and what you can do to be a part of it. Thank you very much, Carrie.
Thank you so much.
pull me close and try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
All right. This is KX93.5. You've been listening to the 8 o'clock version of The Importance of Being show. My guest, Carrie Eisenberg from Tahare, was here talking about helping women escape violence and forced marriage. And that was amazing. And so I have Tiana Hamilton here, to the anchor woman, to bring us home. So, Tiana, how can people get involved? How can people assist you in helping these women escape these horrible situations?
Well, first, thank you so much for having us. And there's several ways. Obviously, one way is to spread the word, and that's very, very important. I encourage everyone to go on the website, www.tahare.org. There's a lot of Tahirih. That was a test, wasn't it?
And I saw that you looking at your crib
notes. I did have to look at my crib notes. There's an amazing amount of information and background on this organization. And once you watch some of the videos of our clients, who are these women who are heroes in the journey that they took to get here, you will see what an absolutely important cause this is to be involved in. Most importantly, I'm here to talk about the gala that we're going to be having on September 28th at Pelican Hills Resort. I think it's very poignant to me. We have a committee of about 20 people. About 80% of those people are from Laguna Beach. So this is a homegrown committee that is really, really supportive of this organization.
Well, they're fortunate to have such powerful people as in support of them.
Thank you very much. I do want to mention that we had our inaugural gala last year. I was brought in and sort of introduced to this by Susie and Jeff Alganian, who were co-chairs, as well as my dear friend Sarah and David Vanderveen. And last year we had the gala at the ranch. We raised over $450,000.
Wow.
With an attendance of 200 people on a Sunday night. It's a very intimate affair, and once our guests at the gala heard the stories, they just opened up their wallets and their hearts. And so we hope to do the same thing at least this year. We're moving to Pelican Hills because we're anticipating a slightly bigger
crowd. Yeah.
We're hoping we have 300 seats. And just to put it in perspective, it takes about $5,000 to take a woman and child through the system once they get to Tahoe. So what we raised last year helped 90 women or children through the system. And I think that's huge.
It is huge.
Considering that they've had 27,000 clients over however many years that they've been in existence. So,
okay. So we're out of time, but would you please give the website address just one more time?
Absolutely.
And I also want, while you're getting it, I want to thank Iris Bourne.
Absolutely. Iris is on our committee, and Glenn and Iris are bought a table at our gala. The website is www.tahoe.org. And I do want to mention the other co-chairs. This year it is couples, so it's my husband Paul Hamilton and myself, Christine Hallenberg and Vincent La Barbera, and Sarah and David Vanderveen. And so I know a lot of your listeners know these people.
Yep.
So come and support us. It's going to be a really, really good time for a wonderful cause.
Well, Tiana, thank you so much for being on the show, and thanks for coming and joining with Carrie so that we could do a full show. And thanks for the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is KX93.5. We'll be back, or I'll be back right after this with another hour of The Importance of Being Show. Thank you.